There was a fella who had spent his entire life serving the Lord. He'd been very, very faithful to be the hands and feet for Jesus in his life. And things had always been good, and he had felt blessed as a result. But then the time came that he got really sick, ran up a lot of hospital bills, lost his job, and was almost ready to lose his home. And so he went before the Lord in prayer, and he said, "Lord, I know this is really selfish of me to ask this, but I've never really asked anything from you. You've always been good to meet my needs, and I've always prayed for others. So for once in my life, I want to pray for one thing for me." And he said, "Lord, please let me win the lottery. Please let me win the lottery so I can pay my hospital bills, so I can take care of my family, so I won't lose my home. Please let me win the lottery." Well, Saturday night came, and he was watching Channel 2, and they did the drawing, and he didn't win. So the next week, he went back to the Lord in prayer. "Lord, please let me win the lottery." Saturday night came and went, and he didn't win. Week after week after week, he prayed and asked God to help him to win that lottery because he was just out of money and out of work and they were about to foreclose. And he said, "Lord." So he was out behind his barn and he was crying and praying. He was on his hands and knees. He had his hands up to the air. "Please, Lord Jesus, let me win the lottery." All of a sudden it clouded up. A big bolt of lightning flashed through the sky. Thunder rolled. And then the sky cleared. And a voice boomed out, "Buy a ticket. Buy a ticket." You know, when I heard that joke yesterday at the bank, I thought, now that'll preach. That'll preach. Prayer as our first response is very, very important, isn't it? And we've talked about how when we have needs, our first response should be to go to the Lord in prayer. But you know, sometimes God needs us to participate with Him in His kingdom work. If you want to win the lottery, you got to buy a ticket. Now, I'm not saying you should go out there and play the lottery, okay? I'll leave that between you and the Lord. But my point is, sometimes we have to buy a ticket because God needs us to be His hands and feet. Have you ever wondered about God's calling? Who is called? Why are they called? And how does God call them? Is there a certain type of person that God calls? Are they people with great gifts and great ability? Brilliant people, saints, people who have not sinned? Well, I think this is an important question. And I'd like to turn to the Word of God to see what the Word of God says about it. So if you would turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy 4. Way back there in the back of the Bible, verses 12 through 16. You'll remember this scripture. This is where the Apostle Paul is talking to Timothy, who, as a very young man, relatively speaking, has been appointed to be the minister, the pastor, the shepherd of a large church, the church at Ephesus. And Paul says, "Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching, and to teaching. Do not neglect your gift, which was given you through a prophetic message, when the body of elders laid their hands on you. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. The first thing we learn in this passage, and it might be one of the most important lessons for our community, is that age doesn't matter when it comes to serving the Lord. Age doesn't matter. David slew Goliath as a teenage shepherd. In fact, David, John the Baptist, Samuel were all called by God in their mother's womb. And Samuel was serving the Lord as a little boy, waiting on the priests at the temple. The disciples were probably in their 20s and 30s when they were called. And they were just working men, rough-hewn fishermen. Anna was serving in the temple when she was in her 80s as a widow. And she saw the Lord when they brought him there and he was presented to the Lord. God fulfilled his promise to Abraham and Sarah when they were 100 years old. So we learn from this passage that when it comes to God's calling, age doesn't matter. What matters is that each of us recognize that at some level we have been called. And God would call on us to be an example. An example of what we say, an example in what we do, an example in love, in God's love, agape love. Remember, that's the serving, the forgiving, and the saving love of God. We need to be an example in faith. Believing is seeing faith. Confessing the vision, faith. Holding on to the hope, faith. And an example of purity in our devotion to the Lord. We also learn that a part of being called is that it's to our benefit to devote ourselves to the Word of God. Reading the Word of God is a great privilege, and it is a game changer. There are countries in Africa, I was reading about this week, where there are new Christians, where God's Spirit is being poured out, but the people can't read. And so they don't have that opportunity to read God's Word. They need people to go and teach them how to read so they can read the Word and grow strong as disciples. Because reading the Word is a game changer. It will change your life. It's good to read a lot of stuff, but we need to also read God's Word. And then because we're all called of God in His service, Paul tells us, do not neglect your gifts. Each of you has been given a gift. When you were born again, whether it was when you were young or older, God has given you gifts to serve Him. Don't neglect them. Grow strong in them. Use them for God's kingdom. What is your gift? What gift has God given you? What are your strengths? When I talk to young people, one thing I always like to tell them, and this goes back to my days when we had a camp for incoming freshmen at the high school where I worked. I was in charge of this camp, and I always wanted to tell those ninth graders the secret to life. It's very simple. Find a way to use your strengths to make a living, and you will be successful and happy in your work. But find a way to use your strengths and gifts to help others, and you will be fulfilled, living the abundant life. God has given us gifts for service. So be diligent. Stick to it, Paul says. Take it seriously. Be on the lookout for ways to serve and help. Give yourself wholly. Go all out. It's okay to be a fanatic. Think about it. You know I'm a crazy football fan, right? How many of us have the t-shirt? We go to the game. Or we watch it on television, and we spend our time doing that, and we cheer and get excited, and we jump up and down, and sometimes we say some things out of frustration we might not ought to say, but we get fired up about it, right? We take time to do it. We're going to come here tonight with our team shirts on. College, high school, pro, doesn't matter. We get excited about it. But we can serve the Lord in the same way. Paul also says, watch your life closely. Stay true to the doctrine, the foundation. Jesus is the way. Persevere. Stick to it, come what may. In thick or thin, be committed in good times and bad, during temptations and troubles. Doing so can save others through you. It's important for us to remember another thing that is implied in this scripture. When did Timothy receive his gift for service? It's when the Holy Spirit came upon him, when the elders laid hands on him. We don't do that so much anymore for new Christians. Maybe we should, but the bottom line is this: God does not call the equipped. He called Timothy to be this pastor of this church even when he was a young man. But God does not call the equipped. He equips those whom He calls. He called Timothy and then He gifted Timothy. Jesus does not call the gifted. He gifts those whom He calls. Jesus and God do not call saints. He calls sinners to help save sinners. Nothing matters but Jesus in you. He calls each of us to use the gifts He has given us to bring mercy, hope, healing, and help to those who are in suffering and in need. In Ezekiel 22:30, the prophet says, or God says through the prophet, I look for someone who might rebuild the wall of righteousness that guards the land. I search for someone to stand in the gap in the wall so I wouldn't have to destroy the land. But I found no one. What was God talking about? To rebuild the wall of righteousness. God used this metaphor that everyone was familiar with. Everyone in this day and age of Ezekiel knew that the walls of Jerusalem had been torn down and the Babylonians had come in and taken them captive. They understood this comparison. God's looking for someone to rebuild the walls of righteousness because they guard the land. I searched for someone to stand in the gap in the wall, places where the wall had been torn down, where enemy soldiers could rush in to steal and kill and do worse than that. And some brave Christian spiritual warriors need to stand in that gap to pray for the land. But God found no one at that time. And the nation of Israel was destroyed for lack of people being willing to stand in the gap, to be righteous people, to pray. Why did God not find anyone? Why does He not find people today? Seems like everyone has an excuse. You could almost play fill in the blank this morning. I am too blank to serve the Lord. I am too blank to serve the Lord. And from our scripture reading today, what was Timothy saying? Paul, I'm too young to serve the Lord. But you know, you're really not. I did a little research for this particular message to find out about young people who are serving the Lord and doing things for God. And I found where there are 3-year-olds, 4-year-olds, 5-year-olds doing something. But the story I want to share with you is about a young man named Blair Gooch. He's from Grand Rapids, Michigan. 2 days after the devastating earthquake in Haiti, he saw a little boy crying in a pile of rubble on a newscast. And this story brought him to tears. So the next day, thinking about what he had seen, he remembered that he had a teddy bear that always comforted him when he was a little boy. Now this is a 13-year-old kid, all right? A 13-year-old. He said, you know what? I'm going to start a drive for Haiti. I'm going to start a drive. So at his school, he asked his teacher's permission, and they let him announce his plan over the PA system and ask other kids to donate teddy bears. Well, a local TV station and radio station heard about it, and they joined in. And by Facebook, a lot of other people joined in. And the result is he has a ministry called Blair's Bears for Haiti. They gave 25,000 teddy bears to Haiti for the little children who lost their homes, and many of whom were orphaned there. And then they gave 22,000 more to nonprofit organizations. This year, his group is also going to collect school supplies. His advice to other children is simple. It doesn't really matter how small or old you are. If you're young and think you can't make a difference in the world, well, you actually can, he said. 13 years old. Well, got a beautiful picture on Facebook the other day. I wish I could show it to you. I'm going to tell you proudly about my grandbaby, Amelia. She's 3 years old. And the picture on Facebook is she's at the nursing home and she's helping her mama deliver Meals on Wheels. Now, can you imagine being a widow in the nursing home and this precious little 3-year-old walks up with a little meal in her hand for you with this big smile? She's 3, and she's not too young to serve the Lord. Sometimes when we feel the tug of the Holy Spirit on our hearts to do some things, sometimes, though, we say, well, maybe I'm just too old. I'm too old. There's nothing I can do. I can't get out there and do anything. Well, praise God for Diana Nyad. You know who she is? Did you see her on the news this week? Her whole life, it has been her goal. She's a champion swimmer. It has been her goal to swim from Cuba to Key West. It's 110 miles. Shark-infested waters. Even worse than that are the jellyfish that you have to swim through that sting you, and some of them are deadly. She started trying when she was in her 30s. Finally, at the age of 64, this past week, she swam that 110 miles through ocean waves. It took her 59 hours. She had to wear a special mask just so the jellyfish wouldn't get her, and it made her swallow a lot of water and stuff. And I saw on the news, and she was all sunburned and weak and wobbly and dehydrated, but she was able to do it. Can you imagine what 59 hours of salt water does to your skin? You know, they rub them down with petroleum jelly, but, you know, that's going to get washed off. Diana Nyad, 64 years old. And that's just to swim. I've got a better story for you, though, about a lady named Mary Hill. Mary Hill was given her first sewing machine when she was 12 years old. And she started making clothes and blankets at that time. And now that she's retired, she's making clothes and blankets and giving them away to people in need. People I know, people I don't know, says the Fort Walton Beach woman. It doesn't matter. I like to do for everybody, and the Lord gives me the opportunity all the time. In addition to sewing for others, she collects clothing, which she distributes out of her garage to anyone who needs it. She had retired after 25 years with the phone company, and now at age 71, she says, I'm as busy as if I were working full time. She helps to clean her church. She sings with the church choir. She's even played Santa Claus at the Christmas party for the older folks. Well, she got her a new Santa Claus. Now she can be Santa Claus's wife, so she felt a little more comfortable with that. But she's retired, and she's making a difference. Well, sometimes when we feel that tug on our heart to do something to help others, we fill in the blanks with other things. You know what they are. I am too blank to serve the Lord. I'm too busy. I'm too tired. I'm too sleepy. I'm too sinful. I'm too sinful for God to use me. I'm too weak. I'm too unskilled. I don't know how to do carpentry and construction. I'm not gifted. Or then there's another fill in the blank. I gotta. You know the I gottas? You know what I mean by I gotta? I gotta work. I gotta do homework. I gotta rest. I gotta buy groceries. I gotta pay the bills. I gotta go shopping. I gotta wash my hair. I used to hear that. Excuses are reasons we give when we really just don't want to do something. Right? Amen? But do you have any idea what you're missing out on if you give excuses instead of obedience when Jesus calls? You're missing out on His peace, His joy, love, self-actualization, fulfillment. You're missing Jesus. You're missing Jesus. But then you might be thinking, you know, but what can I do? I'm just one person. Well, here's the good news. We don't have to do great things for God. That's a lie of our enemy. We don't have to do great things for God. There are little things we can do every day. I actually found something on the internet that I'd love to share with you. It's a list of 25 ways you can make a difference. I made copies. Forgot to get them off the printer. But I got them for you after church if you'd like to have one. 25 ways you can make a difference. You know what number one is? Celebrate National Grandparents Day on September 12th by taking an elderly neighbor with no relatives nearby to lunch. Lots of little practical things like that. And you know, I wanted to add some things to it, like regularly donate canned goods to an existing food ministry, such as the LaGrange Food Closet. Let's don't forget about that. We're doing that, right? And don't forget to donate snacks and comfort items to the LaGrange Hospice. Don't forget about the women's shelter, Emmaus House, or to our school. There are lots of little things that we can do to make a difference. And I hope you'll see me after the service to get one of those lists. It's pretty amazing. So, when the Lord calls us and leads us by His Spirit to do something, and we don't wanna, maybe we need to pray for a little bit of heart change. Ezekiel 36, 25 through 27 gives us a precious promise. God says, "Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. Your filth will be washed away, and you will no longer worship idols. And I will give you a new heart and right desires. And I will put a new spirit in you. I will take out your stony heart of sin and give you a new, obedient heart. And I will put my spirit in you, so you will obey my laws and do whatever I command." My prayer for us this morning is that God would give us a new heart. A heart that wants to relieve the suffering of others. That's interested in finding little ways we can serve and be His hands and feet. What will you say when Jesus calls? I'm too busy? Or like Samuel said, "Here I am, Lord, send me."